Hello, I'm Mike Swinson, and welcome to the sound file on the track to the first two big caves in the Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary. The first cave you'll come to is known as the Children's Cave, and the other one, Brown's Cave, named after a local bush ranger. There's plenty to see on the way, and here's Heather Chauncey to tell us some of the history.
This was a DEET work. We had them up many years ago. We get quite a lot of groups like DEET, like Greencore. Greencore make magnificent tracks. This little creek can come up very fast. You get a heavy downpour, up she comes, zoom down to the big creek, and it goes down again quickly. It doesn't last very long as a flowing creek, but when it is up, it's extremely hard to cross. So it does really need the bridge, and otherwise it's a very steep little bit up and down from there. And from here, this is also DEET put in the rest of this track up to the caves, which has then also had Greencore working on it and various other groups. But they started it off with the stone steps.
When Heather was a young girl, the family were visited by many people, some who were returned servicemen, struggling to come to terms with the horrors of the war they'd been involved in. Heather was often asked to take them up to the caves, dear, for a walk.
Oh, any time from sort of five up, I was taking visitors out up here. Towards the end of the war, we used to have quite a number of people come up. Some would stay with us for quite considerable lengths of time. Des Larnes was one, Damien Larnes' eldest son. He used to be up here a lot. He'd been in the Air Force and had a bit of a nervous breakdown at the end of it, and he used to come up and stay with us, and, you know, he would sort of hang around the house, and my mother would say, take him for a walk. I was quite happy to do it. It was, you know, quite an interesting thing to do. Got me out of doing any correspondence school work, because, of course, from 6 till 9, I had correspondence school work. Here, it wasn't really possible to get to the school. We didn't have any form of transport apart from bicycles, and the school was 5 miles away along the main road, which wasn't a very good thing either. So until I went to boarding school, I had correspondence schoolwork. So if told off to take the visitors out for a walk instead of doing schoolwork, that was fine by me. And I was interested in orchids and in lichens and fungi, and also in the hairy caterpillars. I used to collect hairy caterpillars. It used to horrify people. They're such pretty things.
Keep an eye out for those hairy caterpillars, won't you? Especially if you aren't fond of creepy crawlies. Now, to the first cave site.
This is rather a nice little cave. It's good for young children. They can go, or come up here and shoot all the way through to the other side while they're waiting for their parents to come up the hill. Pant, pant, squeak, squeak. It's quite a good spot for them to play in, and they can't sort of go very far. They come out back out on the path below. Some of the plants you see around it, some of the native rosemary, and there's some black-eyed Susan flowering most of the year just in front of the cave here, and some of the native grasses coming down and the big she-oaks in front of us. We're coming up now really into a sort of territory where you've got more of the smaller types of eucalypt. Most of them are peppermint around this part, silver and brown peppermints, and up onto the top of the caves. When children first see the cave that they can actually get into, of course they're usually quite excited about it and shout and call to each other and rush through it and sort of booby-trap the other ones coming up. If some of them are still coming up on the path, they hide in the cave and bounce out at them. They find it, you know, a really exciting thing to play in and to play on these rocks, which are fairly safe. They're not good for real rock climbing, too soft. But for kids to sort of play around on, they're lovely. And there's not much damage they can do. They might find a jack jumper, but, you know, the devils and wildlife will keep well away from shouting, squeaking kids.
Once you leave the children's cave and continue along the track, it's a bit of a scramble, but the track itself is easy to follow, even though it slopes off quite steeply to one side, It's not a dangerous area for children to be, so long as they're with an adult. Further along, you come to Brown's Cave.
This is where Brown's Cave is. Brown was a bushranger from escaped convict from Hobart. It's a little confusing because there were two bushranger Browns in the area, which so we're not quite sure which was which. This one mostly lived over in the farmhouse in East Baghdad. Most of the bushrangers did have places where they could stay when they were out in the bush. They were, I suspect, probably poachers, basically, from Britain, and had no idea about how you would live in the bush here. They knew how they would do it at home, but they found this was a little bit different. When the troopers would come after them, because of course the main road to Launceston was still basically where the main road is now, so there were a lot of bushrangers up and down the whole of this district. And the troopers would come up and try and catch them or shoot them or whatever, but from here he would hear the troopers were about. Come over. He would swing into the cave from a tree on the top of the caves on a long rope and just sit there dropping pot shots into the creek. He wouldn't have hit anything with the sort of ammunition and armaments they had in those days, but the explosion and the rattle of bullets falling around them would rather distract the troopers. You could see them coming up the valley in their bright red coats, of course, and they just used to give up and go away again. When people got in afterwards, they found he'd had a barrel for water in the cave, and various old pistols had been picked up in the creek at intervals. I don't think he kept much else there. I don't think he was in there a great deal. But the whole of this hill, the Caves Hill, is called Brown's Caves after him, and the creek is Brown's Creek after him as well. The other interesting aspect here, you can see, if you look up there to the left, is that large splodge of white. That's the hunting perch for peregrine falcons. Parks and Wildlife excavated one of these back for several hundred thousand years because these birds have been here for a very, very long time. It's not where she nests, it's just where she perches there, looks out down the valley, decides where she's going hunting, usually up over the hill sometimes straight down the valley. And they've been doing it for so long that they've got this enormous pile of their droppings there. They're still a worldwide protected species. They're quite rare. They are a worldwide species, but they're fairly rare in most places. We have at least two pairs nesting up here every year. And they're one of the main reasons that the sanctuary was finally declared a sanctuary was because of those and the big grey kangaroos, because people actually did know about them. But they are very beautiful birds.
And if that isn't enough drama and excitement, the biggest and most interesting cave is still ahead of you. Just keep winding your way along the narrow track, enjoying the view across the valley. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to hear the haunting sounds of black cockatoos.